Bez Hashem Mizbochu, we begin Perek Revi, the fourth chapter in the Rambam, Hilchos Malon V'Aloi, with the laws of the lender and the borrower and the seed, Mishpatim, the book of judgment, where we now begin the discussion of loans as it relates to the prohibition of ribis, a prohibited interest on the loan. The Rambam begins Halacha Aleph regarding the prohibitions that are involved in this issa of ribis. Neshech umar bis echerhu, which neshech has marbis and marbis has neshech, meaning marbis is the gain that the lender has by lending, whether it be money or food or whatever it is. At the same time, it's also neshech, it's also biting into the borrower. So they're both happening at the same time. Shem like says in the pasuk miyikras, kas b'chol eisitin lebeneshech, your money should not give it to him in this biting. Uvemarbis leisitin ochlecha, and your food you should not give, which increases your gain. Ulahal noimer, and later on, the varmit says, neshech kesef, a biting of money, neshech eichel, a biting of food, neshech kol dovash yishech, a biting of anything that's going to bite into the borrower. Now, why is that addition that the lender is getting considered a neshech from the term of biting? Because it bites. Because it pains his friend. Eats up his flesh. Now, so neshech and marbis are the same thing. Why do the pasuk divide them? To just give two negative prohibitions of violation for the one who lends on interest. Because really, you're having both at the same time. His increase is his pain. Halacha base, kedech she'asa l'halvis. Now, just like it's forbidden to lend the money on interest, kach asa l'halvis b'ribis. There's a prohibition on someone to borrow on interest. Shem like says in the pasuk, l'isashech l'ochicha, which is causing someone else. Meaning, m'piyash m'ulamda, from tradition they learned, shezu ashor l'aloybe, it's a prohibition to the borrower, kolim, in other words, l'isinashech l'ochicha. Don't take neshech from the other person. Don't cause your brother to lend on interest. So that's a prohibition on the borrower. The chainsot to asal lis asik. You now be involved. Bein levum al ribis, between the borrower and the lender of that the loan's on interest. And therefore, v'chol mishal ya'ar, if anyone's a guarantor, or a safe, or a scribe, or aid b'nem, or a witness between these two individuals on their loan, it's a negative prohibition. Like it says in the pasuk, le'sisimun olav neshech. You should not place on him neshech, which the whole parsha is written in the singular. Here it changes it to the plural of Lisa to say it's all these other individuals. Zuazhar, there's a prohibition of Afla Aiden to the witnesses, and Vilarev, and to the guarantor, Vilasev, and to the scribe. Alamata, this comes to teach you, Shalmalva, but if someone lends on interest, Oiva al Shishalav, and he violates six negative prohibitions. Lisa it says in the Pasuk, you should not be him as a creditor, because someone who loans on interest, that's the way that creditors usually are, that they don't lend their money for nothing. Your money should not give him with interest. And your food you should not give on ribis. Don't take from him neshech and tarbis. Don't place him in neshech. And the sixth one is lifli ever lisit michshel. In front of a blind person, I should not put a stumbling block, meaning you're causing the borrower to stumble in sinning in borrowing an interest. The borrower violates two negative prohibitions. That's leisashach lechicha, as we mentioned before. It can't cause the lender to lend on interest. And v'lifn evil isid mikshel, you're causing a stumbling block. But you borrowing it, he's having the opportunity to lend this on interest. And adiv ve'edim k'yitzbhem, the guarantor and the witnesses and similar types of individuals. In evrim el l'mishum leisasin olav neshach, they only violate, like we said, that you should not place the plural, these other accessory people should not cause the neshach to be put onto the borrower. Now, now, whoever was a broker between the two individuals, or he assisted one of them, or he directed him, then he violates for evil, not to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, because you're causing them to sin by assisting them in this loan. Halacha Gimel continues regarding returning the ribis. Although the lender and the borrower violate all these prohibitions that we mentioned, in love and love, they don't get lashes for it. Why? Because it's given to be returned, the interest to the borrower. Because whoever loans on interest, if it was a set amount of interest, which is biblically prohibited, actually is extracted with judges. You take it away from the lender and you give it back to the borrower. The im mesa malva, however, if the lender dies, imitzi mi'arabanim, we don't remove that from his sons, because the Torah only put the responsibility on the lender, and that's not a responsibility on his children. Halacha dalt, henich l'mavim moishel ribis. Now, however, let's say the father, he passed away, and he left them monies with interest. Now, avapi shehim yoidim shenshel ribis, although they know that this is their father gotten through this ill-gotten gains or through interest, In Mechayim Lav, as we said in the previous halacha, they don't have a responsibility to return it. But he nichlem pada of talish ribis. Let's say he left over them a cow or a jacket of ribis. V'choldav amasumim, or anything that's distinct, that has the title of the original owner, which was the borrower, has a sign. Everyone knows this is the jacket or the cow that he took as interest from the borrower, which is a forever disgrace, that a recollection that he had sinned with interest. Chayim lahachse, then they have to return it to the borrower. And they cover it up because of the dignity of the father, that it shouldn't be an eternal reminder of the sin. Now, but medrum, when we say this, that they have to return it, is kashas tshuva, if the father repented. But his big lahachse, achamesi, didn't get a chance to return his ill-gotten gains by the time he died. Avam lois tshuva, but he didn't repent, in chayish mechvaydi, would not consent for his honor, but fellow devim mesuyim emachzin, even the distinct item, they'd have no obligation to return. Halacha hey, hagazlonin, robbers, umal beribis, and those who loan on interest, which is what we're talking about, shechziru, where they're coming to return their ill-gotten gains, ein mekablehem. We actually don't take it back from them. We don't, even if they stole from the individual or charge them interest. Rather, we pardon them. Why? So that we could open for them a path of tshuva, because if we're going to take all their money away, which was through all these gotten gains, it's going to be hard for them to repent. So we don't accept it, so that they can, that it'll make it easier for them to do tshuva. Whoever does take the money back from them, the spirit of the sages is not pleased with such a present. Now, if the stolen item was around, and the interest was something that was a distinct item, and it's the item itself, then you can take it back from them. But not again if it's monies. Halach above. A document that has interest written on it, whether a set amount of interest, whether of rabbinic interest, which is not a set amount, he collects the principal, but it does not collect the interest, meaning we don't penalize the lender to lose out even the principal because of the ribbis. He collects the principal, but not the interest. Now, let's say he went and he already collected all of it, including the interest. So if it's exact interest, so that we will extract from him because that's biblical law. But what's called the dust of interest, which only rabbinically forbidden, in the government of Lamalva, that we don't go ahead initially and collect from the borrower to the lender, like we said in the beginning of this halacha. You don't collect that. But if it was already collected by the lender, but you don't make the lender return it back to the borrower. Halacha Zion continues regarding the denial of God with someone who has a document of interest. Whoever writes a document documenting this loan on interest, that is a case of a made a love, Adam. It's like it's written and like as if it's testifying in witnesses, which are the witnesses of the document. Shekafa b'Hashem al-Kesol, as if he's denying Hashem, the God of the Jewish people. And so to any individual that they were doing a loan between the lender and the borrower, even just between themselves, it's like they're denying Hashem, the God of the Jewish people, but kafir b'tzitzis mitzrayim, those are denying the leaving of Egypt. In other words, the whole idea of Hashem's hashkacha, that he pays attention and he divinely orchestrates every single thing, like we see in the wonders of leaving Egypt, which some of the loans on interest is also denying Hashem's hashkacha, to say as if Hashem can't give him what he needs to get his panasa in a halachically valid way and not through the sinful way. Shemek says in the pasuk that puts them together, as kaspach litzitin lebeneshech, that your money you should not give on interest, etc. And it says, "Ani Hashem lekeichem, and I am Hashem the God." Asher etzesi eschem etzem zayim, that I took them out from the land of Egypt. We see it's intimately connected. Lachaches continues with interest as it applies to a gift or to a mistake. So asla adam lahalvas banav b'nei veise b'ribis. It's forbidden for a person to lend his sons or his family members with interest. In other words, he wants them to see what it means making money with interest, so that they get a greater reward when they don't lend on interest. Now, he's not allowed to do that. I appreciate the but even though he's not particular, he's just gifting them extra monies, but it's not really interest. It doesn't make a difference. It is us that's forbidden. Why? Because they might get accustomed to this, where they see how easy it is to make money on your money, which is what interest is, and they might do it others, and therefore it's forbidden for the father to do this with his family members. Now, halacha test. Tamid Chacham, regarding Talmudic scholars Shehilbazaza, which they loan each other monies. V'nusla yesama Shehilbaman, and he's giving him back more money than what he borrowed from him. Harizimut is permitted. Why? Shadav Yadua, because it's well known, Shalay Nusla Ilmatana, he's only giving him a gift. They know the severity of the prohibition of ribis. And unlike that of an ignorant person who won't realize it and will be giving it for the purpose of giving interest on the loan, Talmud Chacham knows that it's just a gift and therefore there's no iser. Halacha Yod, Hamavis Chaveiroi. If someone lends his friend, and the borrower finds more money than he was supposed to lend him, the other way around, he returns the debt, the lender finds more money than he had lent him. So, if it's within how much that makes sense that a person could make a mistake, make an error in the counting of the money. So you could presume that the lender or the borrower made a mistake in calculations. Then you have to give it back to the other party. Now, but if not, which it doesn't make sense that a person would have made such an error, then matanahu shenasan lai, so then it's a gift that he's giving him. Oy, or gezela haisla biyada, or actually rather he had stolen from him, and just absorbing it into the calculation because he's too embarrassed to return it straight up. Or someone else asked him or told him to like absorb it, just put it in there when you're giving him the monies. Now, how much do we say we presume that a person would have made an error that you have to return it to the other party? So that's be'echad, when you're counting the money one at a time and you're one off. Or Vishnaim or two, because people count two at a time. Or Bechamisha, or fives, people go by fives, or by Sar, or by tens. If you're that much off, Shem Aman Chamisha Chamisha, Sar, like for the last two cases, maybe he's counting five at a time or ten at a time. So if you're five off or ten off, that makes sense. That person would have missed one unit of five or ten. Vechain the Matzah Yeses, so to be fine more of Minha Chamisha, Yeses, Minha Sirius, when you have groups of fives or tens. When you're Echad, you're doing one of five, one of five, one of five, and you're one off. You have to give it back. Because maybe this one unit that he was counting by fives or tens, this arva marm, it got mixed in with them, and therefore that would make sense for us to presume that is a mistake, and then you have to give it back. Unlike if it's more, then we say that it's no mistake, rather it was a gift. But again, that wouldn't be a problem about ribbis. Now, Halachi Rav continues regarding a loan that's connected to the weight of the coins of the currency that changed. In its measurements. So Amavas Chaveda Alamad Beyav. Someone lends his friend specifically on a certain coin. Says, I'm lending you this, give me back that same coin. So to some rest his weapon subasa and arksuba matbeyu dua. When he gets divorced or when the marriage ends, he's gonna give her a certain coin. Now, Upedish Mishkal, and they specified its weight, meaning in those times the weight was what the coin was. That was the value, was based on the weight. Now, v'hisifu al-mishkal, it turns out, let's say a quarter, they ended up adding to the weight, and now, let's say instead of being worth a quarter, it's worth a half a dollar. It increases its value. So, imhuz lo ha-peiris machmas ha-teisefes, if the price of the produce went down because of the increase, because now the coin has greater value, it comes out that the lender is gaining when he gets paid back that same coin with the additions. So that's ribbis because he's now able to buy produce at a cheaper price. He's able to get more for his money because the money is worth more. So he has to take away from the measurement of the addition that he's getting now from that same coin. But even if the addition was just very little that they added on. Now, if let's say, because of whatever the increase, the quarter from being 25 cents is now 26 cents or 25.7, something like that, and you're not able to get any produce any cheaper because of that, then you have to take away anything when he's being paid back. You could just give him the coin that's in circulation at that time. Now, when do we say that it does not diminish when he's paying back if he's not able to get any produce cheaper because of that? Is only if the increase was up until a fifth of the coin. Let's say the weight of the coin was four. Now they made it five, so that's an increase of a fifth. So up until that amount, if you're not able to get payers cheaper, so you could just give back the same coin. But if let's say the increase was more than a fifth, then actually he has to take away all the increase, even if the difference of the addition is less than a fifth. And even though he can't even get anything, buy any produce cheaper. And same thing goes in the reverse. If let's say he lends him on a coin, and now it's less than it was. So if let's say the price of produce now is more expensive for him because the coin went down. So the lender has to add on the difference. I mean, he has to add on to the lender the difference. And if it doesn't go up, so he just gives him the coin as it is right then. Now, when do we say that is only if the diminishment was up until a fifth. But let's say it diminished more than a fifth, then he has to pay back the whole difference. So it goes both ways regarding who's gaining, the lender or the borrower. That, again, this has the same halachic criteria either way. Halachic base. So if someone lends his friend on the coin and it's out of circulation, it was invalidated. But if you could use it in another country, and he has a way to get to that other country, so that was what they made up. Because the borrower pays back to the lender from the coin that he lent him. But he tells him, "I'm not complaining. Go ahead and use it in that other country." But if that's it, the lender has no way of getting over there, then he just gives him from the new currency that is being used at that time. Something applies to a ksuba. Halacha Gimel continues with similar to the ideas that we're saying of a gifting or mistake. What happens if regarding someone's meichel, someone's pardoning the interest? So Hayda makes this a gainim. Some of the gainim have ruled, if the borrower pardons the lender for the interest that he took from him, that he's going to take from him. Even if they make an acquisition, a kinyan from him, that, yeah, you're pardoning, that you're giving a gift, that will not be effective to permit the giving of the interest or to ameliorate, to remedy this negative prohibition to be already collected. Because every interest in the world is pardoning because he's giving it willingly, the borrower. He wants this loan and he wants it on interest. But the Torah doesn't pardon. The Torah prohibits this pardoning of the interest. Therefore, the pardoning is not affected by ribbis. Even by rabbinic ribbis. Now, says the Rambam, it appears to me that this ruling of some of these going is not appropriate. It's not correct. Rather, once they tell the lender to return the interest to the borrower, and the lender knows he did a prohibition, that the borrower should be taking it back from him. At that point in time, not if the bar wants to pardon, Michael could pardon, just like he could pardon regarding if someone stole from him, that he doesn't have to pay it back. And actually, explicitly the sages said that we mentioned this before, that by robbers of Malvi Bidibis and those who lent on interest, Sheikh Zir, they come to return it, we don't receive it them. Why not? The inference is obviously that pardoning is effective and he's not still in violation, because we wouldn't say not to take it if he's still going to be in violation. So the Rambam disagrees and says Mechila is effective. Halacha Yidalad concludes with this halacha of Avak Ribbis as applies to the assets of orphans. Nichsi Yisayimim, the assets of orphans, Mutalitin Oisim Lo Odom Neman. It's permitted to give their monies to a trustworthy person, who has good assets, so we're not afraid of losing the money of the orphans, and they could give it to him what's called karv l'sachar, that's close that the orphans are going to make money, and it's very far for them to have a loss. So Imlai, so he tells him, they tell this wealthy guy, look, you do business with the monies of the orphans, im yeshem nevach, if there is profit, give them their portion from the profit. Vim yeshem hefsed nift is a loss, only you're going to lose. With Shazah Avak Ribbis, who this is what's called the dust of Ribbis, which we'll explain in the next parakim. Now, the whole halacha of the dust of interest, because it does not have a set amount that there's a charge, extra charge of interest, is only rabbinically forbidden. And regarding the assets of the orphans, they didn't make such a decree for the takon of the assignment, because their monies are going to go to waste, and we have to make sure that they have money. So, because of that, the Issa Drabun of Avak Ribbis, we did not say for the assignment.